Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
It is the Mark Reardon Show. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark today. We have Dave over there and Sue over there. Are you guys hanging with me so far?
Oh, yeah.
So we have
a blast.
See?
It flies by, doesn't it, Mike?
Every time you hang out with Mike Elam, time flies. Okay. Especially when we start talking about 8 hot dogs for a buck.
That is disgusting.
That is going to be Sue's takeaway from today.
Yep, yep.
I spent 3 hours with Mike Elam. You know what I know? You know what I know about Mike?
8 hot dogs for a dollar. What
Mike
is it called
eats cheap
again?
Hot dogs. Bar S.
Bar
you
S.
can get them at Target.
Sue, you got to look
and
it up.
And if you use your Target debit card, you can get 5% off. So they're really 95 cents. For 8 hot dogs.
I am truly concerned.
And the people in St. Charles County are going, and this is the guy who's the chair of my county council. What the heck is going on?
Pretty much.
You know what, though? There are better people. There are people in St. Charles County that you can be proud of. And I want to introduce you to one of them right now. This is Wendy Hausman. Wendy, how are you?
I am doing great, Mike. How are you?
I am awesome. I am better that you are here. So Wendy is somebody that I wanted you to talk to today, and I wanted to introduce you to, not because she is an awesome person, because she is, and not because she's running for state rep, which I'm glad that she is. Nick Schroyer is going to run for state senate. He's already announced that. He had a kickoff party, and he is the state rep for District 107, right, Wendy?
That's correct, yeah.
So Wendy has decided to throw her hat in the ring, and she is going to run for state rep for District 107. Yep. And, you know, Wendy, I didn't realize this until Kathy Conway pointed something the other day, because there was a picture of you with a bunch of other our state senators and state representatives from St. Charles County. We do not currently have a female state representative representing St. Charles County.
Well, that's partially true. We do have one representative that's a woman that she lives in Hazelwood, and she represents a small portion. She is a Democrat, so we do not have any Republican women.
Okay, good point. So not thinking about that, because when you say Democrat in St. Charles County, I just don't put the two of those together. I know it's a mental block, and I should broaden my horizons on this. But, you know, what's funny is Steve Ellman was on with us last hour, and we were talking about what was going on with COVID and with the region and how things are going to kind of move forward. But one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you is when I talked to Steve Ellman about running for office, and I went in and talked to him. I talked to former State Senator Tom Dempsey. I talked to former Mayor Sally Faith of St. Charles City. And I said, hey, I want to run for office in St. Charles County. What do you think I should do? And what they told me was, get involved in your community. If you want to go run for office, go be somebody first in your community and then go run for office. Get involved in your kids' sports programs. Get involved in things at your church. Get involved with chamber or a civic group like Rotary, or get involved in some other organization. And Wendy, you have done all of the above, and I appreciate the fact that you have done that, and all this stuff with Little Black Book, which is an amazing organization. How long have you been involved with Little Black Book?
I've been involved with Little Black Book for LBB for about 3 years.
So tell everybody a little bit about what LBB is.
Well, Angel Magasano is the founder and CEO of Little Black Book, and it's a professional business women's organization, and we network, and we try to really make good things happen, you know, in our local area. It is kind of where women aspire to be who they want to be.
And I got to tell you, I have met some of the most amazing women through LBB. In St. Charles County, and I know LBB has reaches further than St. Charles County, but the ladies that I keep running into are serious professional women, and they get stuff done. I'm going with stuff because that's a nice radio version of saying that, Sue, so I can't, I'm not going to.
You're very professional. That was very good.
But there, we have some serious ladies in St. Charles County that are getting stuff done in St. Charles. But, Wendy, I want to talk to you about Federated Republican Women of St. Charles County. This is a new group that I didn't know anything about until you got involved with that. Tell us a little bit about that group and what are you doing?
Well, we actually, there's another group called the First Capital Women, and I was a part of that. And they're a group that meets in the afternoon. And so they're a nice group of ladies, but they are not as politically active as I wanted to be. And so I got talking with, you know, some other women, and they really needed something that would be appealing to working women who would really like to be involved in politics and don't know how to get started. And so that's kind of how the Federated Republican Women of St. Charles started. And so we want to educate and inform each other. And we have great members. We have a lot of representatives that are local, state, as well as federal government. We have wives of elected officials. We have current and former elected officials. And we have women who have no desire at all to actually run for an office, but they really want to be like behind the scenes. And those women are also important because we need those to help, you know, others run their campaigns and, you know, do the important stuff. Dina Smith is the president, the current president, and she is actually a O'Fallon City Council member.
Yes. Well, I know when you started talking about this particular group, I started meeting some of the members, and I know they're paying attention to local politics, and they are planning to have as many ladies run for office in St. Charles County and around the area as they possibly can. And one of the things that I found was very interesting in the 2020 election is all I kept hearing about was suburban women have turned on Donald Trump and suburban women are not voting Republican. And I am married to a suburban woman and she was offended by the fact that they would tell her that she could not vote for Donald Trump. She could make up her own mind who she was going to vote for. And she did not need me or anyone else to help her make an informed decision. She was able to do that. And we've got a lot of ladies who are in St. Charles County that are extremely well-informed. They are ready to jump in. And I found it interesting that at the same time they said suburban women didn't come out for Donald Trump, we had the most women, conservative women, ever voted into Congress in the history of the Republican Party.
That's true. I know my husband, who doesn't really like politics, he always, you know, whenever it comes to voting, he always asks me, hey, who are we voting for? How are we voting? You know, and so it was never, you know, he never told me what to do. So I was kind of offended as well. But I think a lot of this has to do with, you know, like there's these colleges, they're pushing, you know, this feminist agenda, and they're pushing, you know, this victim, you know, that you have to be a victim or we're going to blame men. And I hate that. It's kind of like the CRT movement that's kind of going on as well. And it's negative. And I guess a lot of women, you know, get caught up in that. I don't know. I like to be positive and I like to think of, you know, how can we fix the future rather than pondering on the past?
One of the things that I've noticed is when ladies get involved with issues like this, things get done. Problems get fixed. We don't sit and talk about it for on and on and on and on. They tend to generate solutions. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen as we get more and more ladies involved in this. And conservative women will move the needle for not only St. Charles County, not only the St. Louis region, but for Missouri and for the country. And I think as we have conservative women who are saying, you know, I'm not going to sit back on the sidelines and be told what I need to do. They're stepping up and they're stepping in the middle of all this and they are leading the way. And I'm excited to see where this is going to go. And that's one of the reasons why I was excited to see you as someone who's already early on, you said, I'm in, right? As soon as Nick said He's running for state senate. You said, I'm in District 107. I'm going to step up to the plate, and I'm going to be involved in that. And you were at that Francis House School District meeting on critical race theory that happened the other day. And I'm curious to get your thoughts about how that meeting went and what was your takeaway from that?
Well, you know, it was kind of sad because just seeing the animosity, you know, on both sides. I mean, both sides are very, very passionate about this issue. And, you know, people can be cruel. And I saw this 9-year-old little girl come up and speak. And I have to give her credit. For a 9-year-old little girl, I have a 10-year-old little girl, and there's no way she would get in front of people and speak like that. And she spoke about, you know, in favor of CRT. And my heart broke because I just feel like she doesn't have all the information and she doesn't really understand it, you know, what's going on. But yet I still wanted to kind of hug her and say, you know, you did a great job just by standing up and speaking. But it was not a fun, you know, night. I mean, there was just a lot of animosity, and I hate to see our country in that state where we're just so divided. I just feel like we need to come together, and CRT is just not a way of doing that.
When you're looking at taking a part in the, let's just assume that you win the election. I'm sure you like that assumption. That works well for people who are running for office when you just assume that they win. But yeah. When you're looking at Jefferson City, I know you've been there, you visited a number of different times. What do you see the issues that you really need to tackle as you get into the state capitol?
Well, obviously the CRT issue needs to be addressed. We have a lot of parents. I mean, I have people reaching out to me really concerned about it. So I know that's going to be, you know, a huge thing that they're going to talk about. I'd also like to see some mental health. I think some of the issues that we're dealing with coming off of COVID, and hopefully we won't have to deal with COVID much longer, you know, that's questionable. But I think that there are a lot of mental health issues that we need to deal with and hit head on, you know, as we continue on. I know there's a lot of, like, suicide rates have gone up since, you know, COVID started with young kids. And so I'd like to see, you know, something addressed with that.
What's some of the advice that you would give? If I know we have a lot of ladies who listen to 97.1. What is some of the advice that you would give them if you said, hey, if you're sitting there on the sidelines and you say, I want to engage, I want to get involved in this process, what do you think the best way is from your perspective to jump in and to try and go make a difference?
I think, you know, you can start in with the smallest thing. You know, you can get involved in, you know, your church group. I did that. I wanted to, because you get out in the community and you meet people. And the more you meet people, the more people know other people. And whenever you have an interest in something, it will just fall in place. The more people you meet, the more people, you know, that can help you out. I know when I first started, I also had a meeting with Sally Faith, Mayor Sally Faith. She's one of my mentors, and I just adore her. And she told me, I said, I don't know where to even start, Sally. You know, I have no idea. And she said, you already have, because she goes, I bet you're running those organizations that your kids are in. I bet you're involved very heavily in your church. And so those are the things that got me started. And then just as I got to know more women, and especially since LBD and the Federated Republican Women, you know, those two groups, they empowered me. They made me feel like I can do this, because I know sometimes we think, I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't think I know enough people. I don't think people like me. You know, just different things like that. And with those two organizations, I have the support and I have the help of people who are saying, you got this, you can do this, and encouraging me and empowering me and making me feel like, you know, this is possible.
Well, as you drive around the St. Louis region and you see these LBB logos in the corner of people's back windshield, now you'll understand. That's Little Black Book, and you are behind a woman who is getting stuff done in the St. Louis region. Wendy, if somebody wants to get involved in the Federated Republican Women of St. Charles County, how can they do that? What's the best way to engage with your group?
You can find us on Facebook for the Federated Republican Women of St. Charles County, and you can like us, and you can get information about our meetings and when we meet.
I appreciate you being here. I'm excited about the fact that you're running for office. I hope your campaign goes really well, but what I'm really excited about is just how you've engaged in the community, how a lot of other ladies, conservative ladies in St. Charles County and around the region, are getting involved in politics. And more than anything else, whether it's a a school board, whether it's a local election at any level, or whether it's running for state rep or even higher, I think we've got to have people who are passionate about these beliefs get off the sidelines, go get engaged in the process, because they really can make a difference. So thank you very much for taking the time. I know this is not something that you were planning on. You're like, really, Mike, you're going to make me be on the radio. So I appreciate you taking the time and joining us today.
Well, thank you, Mike, for having me. I really appreciate it. Hey, and you can also find me on the web at WendyHouseman.com.
So that is Wendy Houseman. She is running for state rep in District 107 out in St. Charles County. We are going to talk to another state representative because it's all St. Charles all day and all state reps, I guess, for the 5 o'clock hour. But so Adam Schwadron is a state representative in St. Charles County. We are going to find out what type of hot dog that Adam... And I'm just kidding. I should let the hot dog thing die.
Maybe
I
like it. Let's ask
him.
Would he eat a hot dog that was eight for a dollar?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Adam's smarter than that, and he's probably going to be. I'm going to say a Hebrew National guy.
Okay.
Because that's
those
an upscale
good.
Hot dog.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's all beef. It's quality meat.
Yeah.
I don't know where
what's
we're going
in
with
yours?
That.
No one
whatever
knows.
Happened. It's
no
the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. It is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Reardon, who I'm sure is getting... sunshine and rainbows and lollipops all down in the sunny beaches of Florida.
Yeah.
You know he's having a good time, don't you?
Oh, yeah. He's been putting it on social media. How
really?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Endlessly. I didn't even watch all the way through his Instagram story, Dave. I was like, okay, I've seen
it. It was making me sick.
Yep.
He was having so much fun.
Oh, goody, goody.
Oh, we're so happy for you, Mark, to have vacation. Yeah, he was telling me all about how the guy he was going down to see has got all this great stuff and wonderful place is where he's staying. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I really don't like you that much. I did. I used to think you were a good guy, but now I'm kind of like...
Not anymore.
I don't know. I'm kind of tired of you. Hey, somebody I am not tired of, as a matter of fact, as we try to do that whole radio professional smoothing transitioning from one element to the next.
How was that?
I don't think that worked out as well as what I thought it was. Dave, why did you rate that one?
It's C+.
Ah, C+. It's a coding thing. C++. We're doing it. Adam Schwadron is a Missouri State Representative. He is in District 106 and was kind enough to take some time out of his schedule to talk with us today. Representative, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
You know, I'm awesome. I have had a blast. I can't believe that we're 2.5 hours into this show. It just goes so fast, and you're thinking, wow, it's 3 hours on the radio. There's so much stuff that you have to do. You walk in with, like, a small notebook of stuff to talk about, and then you look up and you go, wow, I got a half hour and we're done. Like, where did all the time go?
Yeah, I understand exactly how that goes, and I was listening earlier and just want to say congratulations, Grandpa. Or
hey!
However you will be called. That
there
was
you go.
Exciting news there.
You know, so my wife and I were having that conversation. I don't want to get off on a long tangent here because I can. I've only got 30 minutes left. So we were having this conversation about what are you going to be called?
Yeah.
And my wife and the other grandmother have all got this whole thing of, like, they're serious worry about what are you going to go by?
What's your wife going to do? What? Yeah.
I don't know. Like, she's...
I thought you said you just said she had a plan.
Well, she's going back and forth between a few things.
Okay,
right?
Fair enough.
But she's not quite sure what she thinks it needs to be for her. But for me, she thinks it should be Pops.
Like, that's what Pops. I
you know
that's,
why
that's
because
what my
you,
kids that's what my kids call my dad.
Oh, there you go.
You're kind of a Pops.
I'm kind of a Pops.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah,
for
I
sure.
really think that's the answer.
So, Adam, what do you think? Is Pops a good one? I mean, Adam knows my wife, so you think that works?
I mean, I. Think you've been known to hang out over at Pops on the East Side.
Oh,
so
wow.
Well, there you go.
Hey, so at least he went
so
Pops, right? Because at Pops, as far as I know, there's no nudity. So, you know, we were good
Correct.
With Pops. They used to have a lot of great concerts back in the day. Tom O'Keefe used to book all kinds of bands back then. So as we fast forward into today's topic, I wanted to talk to Adam real quick because I understand the governor had his message, his... lottery, if you will. What are we calling that at this point? Where you could win $10,000 and all you have to do is get your shot.
Yeah, it sounds like an incentive lottery. It's actually being run by the Missouri Lottery, so I guess we can call it a lottery.
Well, so you heard Steve Ellman on earlier. Did you hear Steve's son's idea?
I actually had to run to the store and do some back-to-school shopping for my daughter.
Oh, so there you go. So Steve's son's idea was if you get the shot, you get a lottery ticket because your odds of winning the lottery are about the same of you getting COVID.
Yeah, I could go with that as well. That would fall below the $25 prize that was a sticking point originally.
So I guess that's going to work. So did the governor's office have any conversation with the legislature about this, or is this just something that his office came up with?
I'm not sure if he's had a conversation with the legislature or not. Since I'm not in leadership, I usually get passed over on those, being just a first-term representative. But I imagine they did have a little input from other sources, hopefully outside of his office.
So tell me a little bit about being a first-term guy and getting up there. What is it like being a new representative in the Missouri legislature in a COVID world?
It was definitely not what I was expecting. For the swearing in, first and foremost, they made sure to still keep everyone separated, and they slowly brought in the seniors and then the juniors and then the sophomores and the freshmen, since we are term limited up to four terms, so we get those high school monikers again. And so I was sworn in. One thing that I said I was not missing was the reading of the roll, where the gentleman up at the front, who the clerk, reads the names of every single representative in that General Assembly session.
Wow.
So I knew that was coming, but they had everyone hold up in their office and say, wait your turn. And I said, no, I'm not missing that. But so that was a little departure. We still have yet to have the inaugural ball. That's actually going to happen in September.
Oh, so we are going to have the ball.
Yes. The ball will happen in September.
Okay.
And also the freshman tour was postponed. Usually that takes place in December before you are sworn in. We just had it back in June, and instead of 2 weeks, it was 1 week, where we just pretty much stayed along the Highway 70 corridor.
Why do you possibly need to have a tour after you've started, or before you've started? We can always do it later. It's not like you need to be informed before you walk into the legislature, right? We can always make it up later. Why do you have to be fully informed as to what's going on?
Although it is constitutionally mandated in the Missouri Constitution that new incoming legislators must go on this tour. So, have to do a constitutional amendment.
So one of the things that I was excited about when you won your election and you went to Jeff City is Adam may be, outside of an election authority director, might be the guy who knows the most about elections of anyone that I know. You have really adopted that as your passion project, haven't you?
Yes, that goes back in the early 2000s. I actually worked for an elections company selling elections equipment, not the voting machines that a lot of people distrust, but it was just a little something that would help people find the correct polling place. And of course, the technology has evolved since then, and obviously I no longer work for them, but that definitely got my passion going for elections, that I just stay up on top of Chapter 115 in the revised statutes.
So I was having a conversation with Kurt Barr the other day, and I feel for all of the election directors around the state, maybe around the country, but just knowing that we're not going to get our census numbers until September. We were supposed to already have them at the beginning of July, but now we're not going to have them until September. And all the lines are going to have to get drawn. So everybody's district is going to get moved around, maybe a little, maybe a lot, just depends on where you actually live. But once all that is done, then you have your election authority directors who are going to have to go back and set polling locations and precincts and do all that. And it sounds like these guys are going to be under the gun trying to get all this stuff drawn.
Yeah, hopefully they have a general idea. They can take a look at population estimates and try and gather how many people live in this census block, because that's the way things are done, is by census block. And that's one reason why you take a look at a district and it's not nice and square or a good shape. It's rugged around the edges. It dips this way. It dips back that way. It's because we use those census blocks to determine the populations.
So when you're looking at all of this election changes that are going on in states around the country, what is your opinion of this? Where do you see this going? And do you see Missouri getting involved with a Georgia, a Texas type of project and putting some election law changes into effect?
Well, this past session, the House did have House Bill 738 that had a few changes in it. And unfortunately, the Senate did not act on it. So I definitely see the General Assembly putting in some big changes for the election. Well, I shouldn't say big changes, but changes in general to our elections process. One of the changes that I advocated for in a bill that I filed was to have no excuse absentee voting. So, and the way the House worked it out is right now you have 6 weeks to vote absentee before an election. This would allow 3 weeks before the election for you to go to the election authority in your county and say, I would like to vote early, essentially. But it's still absentee, but now there's no excuse, kind of what we saw with COVID this past time. So that's a big change that people want to see and implement. And again, it's not us making it harder to vote. We're actually making it easier to vote for some people with that kind of change.
That's one of the things that I kind of wonder about, why we don't see a more pushback. And I guess there is the pushback there, but it's just tougher to break through in the media these days to get your message out there. But it seems like places like Georgia, places like Texas, and other states around the country who are implementing these election law changes, they're no more restrictive than a lot of the other blue states, if you will, around the country. And I know they typically point to Delaware because that's Joe Biden's home state. That Delaware has a whole lot more restrictions in how you can vote and when you can vote than both Georgia and Texas at this point.
Yeah, right now it's just a lot of screaming and yelling, and people think that just because they're loud means that they're correct, and that couldn't be further from the truth. And so what we are seeing right now is there is that big push on the federal level to pass H.R. 1 or H.R. 4 or Senate Bill 1, the For the People Act or the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, that would implement federal changes to our state elections. And so I actually have a bill that I will be filing that will be pushing back on that, saying, no, under Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution, the times, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. And it does also say that Congress can alter those regulations, but this bill is saying every other part of our elections process, so when we elect our governors, when we elect our representatives on the local level, when we elect county councilmen, that will still be under the purview of the state.
Okay. So this is Adam Schwadron. He is state representative for District 106. Hey, when do you guys go back for the veto session?
The veto session will be in September.
Okay.
I believe that is September 15th.
So hopefully when you get done with that veto session, we're going to be able to circle back with you and kind of get some updates as to how you think that session went. Do you expect anything really big happening out of there, or do you expect it to be relatively quiet?
The governor did veto a few things. He also line item veto a few things in the budget. So I think we'll have to get together as a caucus and figure out whether or not that is something that we actually want to see as a priority. And yeah, after that, depending on how everything has been done with the maps because of the whole delay process, do we need to go back for a special session later in the year after that to determine or to vote on the maps? So a lot of things are up in the air with everything else after veto session.
So I guess the most important question to find out the answer to before you leave is, what type of hot dog is your favorite hot dog? Or do you refuse to eat hot dogs, which I understand as well? That's the big question of the day. So Sue has gone with Nathan's.
Yeah.
And I believe Dave has gone Nathan's.
Yeah, that's as well. Nathan's, yeah, for me as well. Yep.
So I went with the cheap bar-ass hot dogs at Target, which everyone thinks is amazing. So where...
Amazing. Yeah,
exactly.
Thank
All right, you. Amazing maybe is not the word that we should be using. No. So, Adam, where do you come down on the hot dog train?
I like a nice kosher beef hot dog.
I'll tell you what, when I go to the ballpark, I like a kosher dog. I'm right there with you. With some onion and mustard, the grilled onion. You can't beat that, Sean.
See, that's the kind of cutting edge talk that you don't find when Mark Reardon's here normally, and you only get when he goes on vacation.
By the way, there was a vendor whose name was Sean, and he was the best of the hot dog people, if you all wonder why I screamed Sean.
There's stories that I want to know from Sue Thomas.
No, there are zero stories. But anyway, we respect your choice.
That's right. Adam, thank you so much for making time today. I appreciate you making time to be on the Mark Reardon Show. Have a wonderful veto session, and hopefully things go well, man. Thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'll talk to you later.
All right, so we are almost out of time. We just got a few minutes left. But
we confused that poor man with the hot dogs. I feel kind of bad about it.
Adam's going, really, Mike? That's the cutting edge kind of stuff that you want to ask me is what's my favorite hot dog? It's people want to know. Inquiring minds want to know, and that's how I'm going to vote for you. You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Ooh, I'm kind of liking that. Hey,
it's funky.
It's the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. I don't know. I just feel like a James Brown type thing that's happening right there. My name's Mike Elam. Sue is there. Dave is there. It's been a fun-filled afternoon. But before we get out of here today, I wanted to bring to attention something that a lot of people may not know about. So I have asked the St. Charles County Parks Director, Ryan Graham. And Ryan left me a voicemail the other day. So Ryan and I obviously have known each other for a while, right? So Ryan says, hey, Mike, it's Ryan Graham, director of St. Charles County Parks. And I was like, hey, Ryan, how many other Ryan Grahams do you think that I know who sound like you? And he's like, wow, you're an ass. So anyway, he did not say that, but I know I felt it.
Wrong.
I felt him thinking that. Ryan, how are you, man?
Good, good. And Ryan Graham is a very popular name, Mike. I just wanted it to be clear.
It is. It's, you know, whenever you say that, I have a Welcome Back Cotter flashback of my name is Arnold Hoyshack. It's a very old and famous name. It means the cattle are dying. So, but Ryan Graham is a much better, it feels like an English heritage name, and I'm going to treat you like royalty at this point because you, sir, are the parks director and the owner of the largest asphalt pump track in the United States of America, and it is in St. Charles County, is it not?
Yes, sir. The largest asphalt pump track in North America at Kinetic Park. It's opened up last year, and it's been a great draw of people come in from around the United States to come and ride the track. It's been great for the park.
Hey, Ryan, it's Sue. I did not know what this was, and I had to look it up. I'm sorry to be so out of touch here. Will you kind of explain? There might be another person like me who doesn't know what a pump track was.
I'll be honest. When I first heard about it, I didn't know what it was either. But basically, it's a way to ride a bike, which uses the hills and the turns of the track to generate momentum. So you pump the track or you pump your bike instead of pedal. So you use the roll of the track and the curves to generate momentum. So the idea is you pump it instead of pedaling. So it's a new kind of way to ride. It is very tiring, but it's really, really fun.
It looks really cool. Did you have somebody come out and design the whole thing? I mean, are there pump track designers throughout the world? How'd you come up with it?
So we had our track is designed and built by Velo Solutions, which is the worldwide leader in pump tracks. They put these in all around the world. So they're easily identified by their red stripe and Velo Solutions mark. But they also have partnered with Red Bull. So to host a Red Bull qualifying pump track or the World Championship, you have to have a Velo Solutions track. And so it was designed by the best and built by the best, and currently the largest in North America. So we're pretty proud of it.
And we have a World Championship qualifier that is coming to our newly named Kinetic Park in St. Charles County, is it not?
We do. On July 31st, we will be hosting the Red Bull UCI Pump Track World Qualifier. It's one of 11 worldwide and the last of four here in the United States. So there'll be two categories, both men and female riders will compete. There's a maximum of 100 riders in each category. The top four finishers will qualify to go to the World Final, which will be held in Portugal this fall. And the top male and female riders get an all-expenses trip paid to that final. So it's a pretty big deal.
That is awesome. And are there room? Do you have, like, stands there? I mean, or can people just stand there? You know what I mean? How's it built?
It's so there's a lot of standing and, you know, viewing from around the track. They keep the spectators back from the track. We're putting in some bleachers in there to allow some seating as well. But it's kind of a you just kind of get as close as you can and watch it. So it's you're really close to the riders and really close to the action. It's going to be really, really fun event.
The videos on YouTube look cool. I was just watching it.
Yeah. They are.
Same here. I had no idea. Yeah. This really, really is a cool thing. Now, okay, let's say it's just a Tuesday. Can any kid or any person come out and use it? Is there like a fee?
The it's free to enter the park. The park is open from 10 to 10 every day. So it's lit. So at night, you're still able to ride. With it being asphalt, you can ride it in all conditions. So it's really it's a great asset to the park there. So
Ryan, for the World Championship, do people need to make arrangements to come out on July 31st, or can they just show up?
Yeah, so the event is actually going to be from 12 o'clock to about 10 p.m. From 12 to 3 will be the visitors' booths and food and racers' practice. The time trials for the race begin at 3:30, and the knockout trials start at 7, and the award ceremony is around 10 o'clock. But we're limiting the spectators to the event to 1,500 people. To guarantee your spot out of those 1,500 people, you can purchase a ticket for $10 that gets you a souvenir hat and a wristband that allows you to re-enter the park that day. But if you don't want to have a guaranteed spot and you're not interested in that hat, you can still show up and come into the park. There's not going to be any fee that day, but you're not guaranteed to, if we reach 1,500 and you know, we're full, there may not be a spot. So I would encourage people to register early to get that spot. And if you're interested in riding, if you're 17 years of age or older, and you think you have the skills to compete in this race, you can register on the Red Bull website. I believe it's $20 to register. So there's a lot of great riders here in our region. So it's going to be a really, really fun event.
That is Ryan Graham. He is the director of St. Charles County Parks and Recreation Department. Ryan, thanks very much. We appreciate you jumping in. So hopefully everybody can get out there and enjoy that. My name is Mike Elam. It has been a thrill filling in for the vacationing Mark Reardon, just because I like making fun of him. Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Sue for being a part of the show, and for Fred for being here earlier, for making me actually sound like I knew what I was talking about today. It's the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.